ton to see on this Amud. We are at the top of Tzadi Tesemet Aleph, 99A. I presented again the tables as we left them yesterday, but with a better graphic. There are two versions here. One is the one that's darker, one is the one that's lighter. For those who got the email version of the sheets, they're actually in color. But on a black and white printing, this is the best we can do. So the first one, the one that's on your left, tables aligned south-north. The tables actually extend across the space from south to north. Whereas the other way, you have tables aligned east-west, and they're along the south wall, running east-west. And we voiced all sorts of objections yesterday to how this could work, ranging from how are the Kohanim going to get across if you take the version of it that the tables are aligned south to north, to the fact that you end up with tables on the wrong side of the room because the tables are all supposed to be in the Darum, to the question of, well, where's Moshe's table, because we said that Moshe's table is supposed to fit in. Yeah. So we had all sorts of questions, and the answer in the end was that it's actually two rows of tables, with Moshe's in the middle. But that doesn't quite work, and that's where we begin, on the top of Tzadi Tesemet Aleph 99a. Bishlam Alaman Damar Tzafon V'Darom Shapir. If you're going to say the tables are aligned south-north, and now you've got two rows, and Moshe's in the middle, so take the darker version of it that you have on the left side, and just imagine that you have two rows on the south side of the room, with Moshe's in the middle, and you can use Rashi, but you have to keep remembering that Rashi puts Mizrach at the top of his diagram, and then all his pictures make sense. So Shapir, that works. You're fine. El Lamadamar Mizrach Umayrav. However, if you take the version of it that the tables were aligned east-west, and now you're making two rows, and you have Moshe's stuck in the middle of those, so he says, Mechti Shulchan Kama Moshech Menakosa. Look, how far is each shulchan going to have to be from the wall? In other words, we're taking what I have as the top line on tables aligned east-west, and we're now shifting it away from the wall. Don't assume it lines the wall. And the reason it has to be away from the wall, as Rashi explains, is because we're going to see a view in the Gemara momentarily that says that you're actually using these tables. You're putting the bread on the table. And in order to do that, you need to have space of 2.5 amos, as we're about to say, between the table and the wall. How do I know 2.5 amos? Because remember yesterday we talked about carrying the Aron, and you said that you can't fit two people across in a space of less than 2.5 amos when they're carrying the Aron between the Badim, and you need two people walking on that side of the table, Rashi explains, in order to get the bread there. We'll see why in the Gemara a little further along why you need two people. But the point is, how far is the table from the wall? Shtei amos umechza, 2.5 amos. The amadidei, and then you have the amma that is the row of tables, your first row of tables itself, because the tables are 2 amos by 1 amma. So you have now you're 3.5 amos off of the wall. Ushtei amos umechza debeini beini. Then you have 2.5 more amos between that first row and Moshe's table. The amma, then you have the amma that is Moshe's table, the amadidei, the bachid's in the word didei. Then another 2.5 amos for your second of the long rows. Then you have, of course, the Yama Didei, and then you have the Yama that is the table itself. So if you add that up, you have 2.5, plus you have 1 amma, that's 3.5, then another 2.5, that makes you 6, right? Then you have another amma for Moshe's table. Then you have, so that's 7. Then you have another 2.5. That's 9.5. And then you have the amma that is the bottom table. The result is you are now 10.5 amos into the room, which means you're off the midline.
But Rashi shows a different diagram.
No, he doesn't. He's just putting east at the top. That's the only catch.
But you've got space between the two rows of tables, so why do I need space against the wall?
Because you have to come around the other side when you're putting the bread on the table. You'll see in the Gemara later on when they talk about how they put them on. So ishtakach de ka'achel shulchan palga de amse bedarom. The result is that you're going to have half an amma in the southern part of the room, and we said all of the tables are supposed to be in the northern part of the room. Now half an amma is not that much. Nonetheless, wrong part of the room. So the Gemara's answer is misavrit shulchan de Moshe behadayu avayasev. You think that Moshe's shulchan was actually in the middle between the two rows like that? Dimidli lay umanachle. You actually elevated it and you put it umiyasasilahu ledidhu purta, and you offset it a little bit from the other tables. Ketalmid hayoshev lifnei rabbo, like a student sitting before his rabbi. And Rashi explains what we mean by that. If you see Rashi, Moshe Ba'adayu Abi Yosef, it's about halfway down the page. Be'em Tzamamash, in the middle. Diliboy Shtei Afroshos Shostei Amos Umechza. You think that Moshe's was in the middle, such that you would need 2.5 Amos between it and the two rows on either side? Lo. Rashi continues. Demilulei Umanach Levechule. Shalo Yehei or Shalo Haya Munach Beinei Mamash. It wasn't literally between the two rows. Ela Moshuch Litzad Marav. It was actually off to the west. Verosho mechuvan kineged avir shebein shtei hashuros, and its head was opposite the airspace between the two rows. Da hashtaleka elachada afrosha. So now you have only one gap of 2.5 amos between the two rows. So now it's 2.5. An amma makes 3.5. 2.5 makes 6. Makes six. And then an amma, and you're done. That's it. You've hit the bottom row at 7 amos. Notice that in Rashi's diagram that he gives you here for the correction, he has the table suddenly aligned opposite, you know, perpendicular to the others. That's just an artifact of the printer. That's not actually correct. Rashi is not claiming that the table is perpendicular, because remember that all of this began with a discussion about are they aligned east-west, north-south. No one suggested that some tables are aligned one way and some tables are aligned another way. But Rashi continues with a very interesting point. Ketalmid Ayoshev Lifnei Rabo, like a student sitting before his Rebbe, Namo Chemenu, he says, lower down. Kach Osam, remember the whole discussion about the Talmidim sitting on the floor and the Rebbe on a table, on a chair, whatever. Kach Osam Shal Shlomo Nemuchin Mishal Moshe. The tables of Shlomo were lower than Moshe's. The Beis HaMikdash Haya Meshupa, because the Beis HaMikdash was on a slant. Ulitzad Mayra of Magbiya Yoser, and so the west side would actually be a little bit more elevated. How do we know it's on a slant? Remember the discussion about drainage that they did in the Azara, right? You need that, you have an Amma, right? But if you're not on a slant, having an Amma channel there isn't going to do you any good. You had to have had a slant in your floor. Okay, good. That's our resolution. Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa now asks the next very important question of what in the world did you do with all these tables? Tana Rabbanan. Asara Shulchanos Asa Shlomo. Shlomo made 10 tables. V'loayu Misadrin El Al Shal Moshe. But they only put bread on Moshe's table. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Ves Hashulchan. The hay is the key. Hashulchan, the table. Asher Alav Lechem Hapanim, that had the bread on it, was of Eser menoros asa Shlomo. Shlomo made 10 menoros. V'loyim madligin ala b'shal Moshe, but they only lit Moshe's menorah. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Menoras hazahav v'neroseha levo'er ba'erev. The menorah of gold and its lamps. So those are the ones that you use to light in the evening. Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua disagrees. Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua omer al kulam hayu misadrin. He says, no, they used all of them. Rashi explains, sometimes one, sometimes the other. It doesn't mean that you're making 11 sets of lechem aponim. One set of lechem aponim, but you rotate which table you're using. Which explains why I need to make sure they're all in that right, in the correct part of the room. Right? And they'll have to be kamishpat, they'll have to be made properly. So we use all of them, but in rotation. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Es hashulchanos va'alehem lechem haponim. It says the bread was on them, plural. V'chulin ayu matlikin, and they lit all the menoros. Shneimar es hamenoros v'neirosehem levaram. Again, plural. Kamishpat, according to the law, lefnei devir zahav sagur, they're made of that gold, etc., the pure gold, v'chulin. So he says, no, you're using all of them. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Lo hayu misadrin ela al shal Moshe. He says, no, I side with the Tanakama. They only used Moshe's. Elamani mekayim v'sashulchanos asher aleihem lechem apanim zahav. Or correcting it, v'sashulchanos va'aleihem lechem apanim is really the more accurate reference of the pasuk. The Bach corrects it. So why does it say plural that the bread was on the tables, plural, if the bread was really only on one table? Elu shlosha shulchanos shahayu b'mikdash. This refers to the three tables they had in the mikdash. Shnayim shahayu b'ulam, and this goes back to the question of why I need the space between the tables and the wall. Shnayim shahayu b'ulam and mibifnim. Two were in the azara. Inside, Bifnim, Al Pesach Habayis, not Lifesach Habayis, but Al Pesach Habayis by the entrance to the Heichal. Echad Shal Kesef V'Echad Shal Zav. One of these was made of silver, and one of these was made of gold. We're going to see a reference to the tables in the Mishnah on the next Amud. And there it's going to say one is made of marble and one is made of gold. Rashi's view is that silver is really the marble one. And it's only called silver because it's white like silver. However, Tosfos, not here, but Tosfos Tzadi Tzadik Beis on the next side, is going to show you sources that indicate it's actually a machlokes. One view is that it was silver, one view is that it was marble. Okay. Al shal kesef nosein lechem apani bechnisa sov al shal zav v'yitziyaso. You put them on the silver table at the entrance when you brought them in, and then you put it on the gold table when you took it off. Because remember, the shulchan itself was gold. And shemalin bekodesh v'lo moridin. You go up in kedusha, you do not descend. Echad shal zav bifnim shalav lechem apanim tamid, and then you have the gold one inside on which the bread goes. So we have malin bekodesh vein moridin. Silver is considered to be of lower kedusha, so you start out, or the marble is, and therefore you start out on that, and then you go onto the table that's the shulchan of gold, and then from there you have to go onto gold. So these are two different points. Number one, I'm reversing the order that the Gemara is going to use, but number one, malin bekodesh, you go up in kedusha, so you need something that's lower than gold to start with, so you can go up to gold. And then number two, once you've been on a gold table, you don't go down. Right? This proves that all Jews were originally Hungarian. You don't go down from the gold one. You have to remain on a gold one. So you take it off of the gold one, and it has to be on the has to remain on it. As I state,
is it pure gold or just covered with gold?
Right. So it has to all be covered with gold. You said kamishpat. The way it was done in the right. Yeah. Correct. Okay, so umminalan de'ein moridin. First we ask, how do you know that you don't descend? Once you've been kodesh, you don't descend. So Amar Rebbe, Rebbe says, to Amar Kra, it's the pasuk in Parshas Pekudei, vayokim Moshe es hamishkan vayiten es adonav, vayasim es krasha vayiten es bicha vayokim es amudav. Moshe put up the mishkan, he put the basis for the krashim, those vertical boards, he put in the boards themselves, he put in the bolts and beams that went across the boards, and then he put up the post. How did that teach me Ein Moridin? So Rashi brings me three different views here. I'm going to condense it because there's so much to see on this daf. The Rashi first suggests it's because the Torah says Vayakem, he elevated it in the beginning and at the end. So that's, it says he never went down. Even though we had other verbs in between, that's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation, also brought by Rabbeinu Gershom, is that it's Moshe himself and not others. And you'll recall Rashi on an earlier pasuk there, Perek Lamed Tes, pasuk Lamed Gimel, that Moshe is the only one who can lift the krashim. He has Hashem's assistance, but he's saying it, Moshe does it and not the others. You don't go down in kedusha. Once Moshe starts working, you don't descend. And then Rashi brings a third explanation, which is fascinating, that Moshe did not remove the urios. Moshe first puts up the mishkan. That means he puts up the curtains that are on top. He's putting up the roof first. Then after that, he starts putting up the walls. And he doesn't take down the roof in order to put up the walls. He holds the roof curtains up while he's still putting up the walls. Quite a trick, but you know what it reminds me of? The Gemara that we saw back in Zvachim Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, when they're building the second Beis HaMikdash, and they put up the walls around for Tzniut before they put everything else up. So Moshe has first created a curtain for Tzniut, for privacy, and then people shouldn't be looking inside, and then he puts up everything else. Yeah, this is not an easy trick. I agree with you. When you're 10 amos tall, there are all sorts of fun things you can do.
Did he build it? When he was holding the Ariel, so he was building everything.
So Moshe.
So he was holding Moshe's
building the same time? Yeah, Rashi says Biyado Achas. And when he gives his third answer, he says Achas Hayrios Biyado Achaikim Kulan. Go figure. This is an incredible trick that Moshe is doing. The Torah Tamima has another approach. The Torah Tamima on this pasuk says that it's a completely different point. Remember that Moshe puts together the Mishkan and disassembles it every day of the Miluim. Right? He puts it up, takes it down, puts it up, takes it down, all through it. And the Torah doesn't mention the disassembly here. It only mentions putting it up. So it's Ein Moridin. Even though Moshe is taking it down, we don't want to mention Horada. In the outer margin, the Gemara notes that in Megillah Chavav and Aleph, Rashi quotes it Tosefta to say Ein Moridin is from a different point. It's going to come from the source that we're going to use to show Malin. When Korach's crew brings their machtos, their pans for the Ketores, those get attached to the Mizbeach in the end. So Ein Moridin, they don't go down from their Kedusha. Rashi says that's our source. At this stage, he's 82 years old. That just proves he shouldn't retire so young. The Torah Tmima also notes, just one last piece on this, based on the language in the Gemara in Brachos, Chavches Amid Aleph, where this idea of Malam Bakodesh Ve'Moridin is also presented, based on language in the Yerushalmi, that really is just a Kabbalah. The Chachamim, no, we have a rule. Malim Bakodesh Bein Moridin. And by the way, these are asmachta. These are nice links we can point to it in the Psukim. It's not that it's really deduced from here. It's simply that these are a backup to the idea. Vayter in the Gemara, about 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. Umanolan Demalin. How do you know that you go up in Kedusha? Not only do you not descend, but you're supposed to ascend. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Here we get what Rashi and Megillah used for Ein Moridin. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, "Domar Kra." The pasuk says, "Eis machtos hachata ima ele benafsho sam." The machtos, the pans of these people who had sinned with their lives, meaning Korach's group who brought the Ketores, v'asu osam rikuei pachim tzipur la mizbeach, turn them into a plating of sorts for the mizbeach. Ki grivum lifnei Hashem vayigdashu, because they were already brought before Hashem. They brought these before Hashem and they became holy. V'yu laos lifnei Yisrael. And this will be a sign for everybody else. Don't mess with Aaron. The betchila tashmishay mizbeach. At first, they only served the mizbeach as pans for the ketores. V'achshav gufo shem mizbeach. But now they ascended in kedusha to become part of the body of the mizbeach. Okay. And Rashi there in Megillah says, no, I know Malin Bekodesh not from this. I know Malin Bekodesh from Moshe putting up the Mishkan. So he flips the sources. In this Tosafta. Okay. So what emerges from here is just that you have two tables that you're using when you want to bring out the bread. We'll see more about this in the Mishnah on the next side. But that's part of why you need this big space around your shulchanos when you want to align them in the Mikdash. Okay. Asher shibarta v'samtam ba'aron. This is a spin-off, I believe, of the idea of Ein Moridin. I think that's what the following piece is doing here. Hashem tells Moshe, take the luchos asher shibarta that you broke and put them in the aron. So Tani Rabbi Yosef says, Malamit shaluchos v'shivrei luchos munachin ba'aron. That teaches that the luchos and the broken pieces were both in the aron. Tosus brings two views, whether the broken pieces were under the intact luchos or were beside the intact luchos. Different sugyos present different options. But he says that shows you keep the broken luchos in the aron. Mikam l'tamid chacham sheshachach talmudo machmas onso shein nogin bo minog bizayon. That shows that if a talmid chacham forgets his learning because of ones, because of some kind of an illness we're talking about, something that's beyond his control, we're not talking about forgetting. As we'll see on the next slide, they distinguish between ones and forgetting. This means someone who has some form of dementia. That's what we're talking about. It's like Rav Yosef with Abaye, where Rav Yosef forgets what he had learned. So a talmid chacham will forget his learning because of that. Sheinogin bo minog bizayon. You can't degrade his kedusha. You have to treat him in the same manner of respect that you treated him when he knew his learning. Right. The letters are gone. Correct. It's just the raw material. Good point.
Two sets of
aronos, correct. I was wondering about that also. We're taught that at one point they end up with a second aron. And the question is, do you now split? And the Shivrei Luchos maybe go out to war in one of the aronos? Yeah. Right. But in the initial stage, it's not so. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish now picks up on this idea that the luchos are broken, but the shvarim retain their kedusha. And this pasuk vasher shibarta that you broke. And Amar Reish Lakish pa'amim shebitula shaltara zahu yisoda. He says sometimes nullifying, canceling Torah actually is the foundation of Torah. Right? We burn the village in order to save it. We destroying it actually ends up being its foundation. Rashi says what we mean is for a person to stop learning in order to go for a levaya, Rahmanul Itzlan, or the opposite, a person going for a chnasaskala, for a wedding. This is the foundation of Torah. Rashi says you get reward as though you founded Torah. Rashi sees it as less direct. It's not that destroying it is the founding of Torah, but it has reward for it, like you established Torah. Dichsiv asher shibarta. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, yasher kochach asher shibarta. How do you get from asher shibarta to yasher koach? So Rashi says, it's just that Hashem doesn't express any anger in Moshe. We don't find Hashem expressing any sort of punishment or anger at Moshe for breaking the luchos. Obviously, Hashem is okay with this. Hashem felt that this was actually the right thing to do. V'amar Reish Lakish, and once we say that, we have two other quotes from Reish Lakish on related matters. V'amar Reish Lakish, Talmid Chacham shesarach ein mevazen oso b'farhesya. If a Talmid Chacham goes bad, you don't degrade him in public. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'chashalta hayom v'chashal gam naviim chalayla. This is a pasuk in Hosea. The context there is a rebuke of the Jewish people, and Hashem says through Hosea, you, the Kohen Gadol, Hosea is addressing, you stumble today, and the Navi Sheker is going to stumble with you also at night. So why does he mention it? Night? Kaseyu balayla, kaseyu kalayla, cover it up like night. Conceal it. Don't make this an obvious thing for everybody. The Amar Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish also says, Kala mishakech davar echad mitalmudo, if you make yourself forget something from your learning, over balav, you're violating a prohibition. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, Hishamer lecha ushmanav shecha me'od, pen tishkaches hadvarim, be very careful lest you forget what happened at Har Sinai. So we take this in reference to Torah. Ramban has a beautiful point on this Pasuk regarding the obligation to teach your children, and how you teach your children to make sure that this is not forgotten. But taking it the way the Gemara takes it right now, he says there's a prohibition against forgetting. Uchad Rabbi Avin, would you have signed up for daf if you knew that? Uchad Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi La, Amar Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi La. Kol makom shenamar hishamer pen ve'al. Eino elalosa say. These expressions of hishamer, pen, and al are more than just don't do this. They're actually elosa say. There's a prohibition against forgetting. Ravina Amar hishamer upen shnei lavininu. Ravina says two losa says. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar b'shlosha lavin. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says there are three losa says. Shnemar hishamer lacha ushmor Nafshchamiyot is the second one, and Pen Tishkaches Hadvarim is three. Yachal Afilu Machmas Onso. I might think that even if it happens, because a person becomes ill, not normal forgetting, but it's extraordinary circumstances. Tamalomar Ufenya Suru Milavavacha. No, because the phrase in the pasuk, lest they leave your heart, suggests that you make them leave. That's what it's talking about. But Mesira Milibo Akazim Bedaber. It's talking about someone who removes them from his heart actively. Rabbi Dostoy Rabbi Yadai Amar Yachal Afilu Takfa Alav Mishnasa. Rabbi Yanni says, what if you just learned too much? You forget, because that's what happens. Tamalama rock. The word rock is an exclusion to say only if it's intentional, not if there's any other possibility. Remember, Rashi in Brachos Dav Zayin says that everybody forgets what he learns. He says the value of going to a shir is simply in running to the shir, right? Rabbi Zera says Agra de Pirka Riata, and Rashi says, yeah, because no one remembers the shir well enough to explain it to anybody else later. So in Rashi's day, they also had this phenomenon. But then in Rabbi Zera's day, evidently as well. But the point is that it's not forgetting that's the isser. It's actually actively forgetting. Some suggest, though, it includes this person who learns and doesn't review, because then he is not enabling himself to remember. Okay, so that's the idea here. And Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar have an additional point related to this issue of forgetting. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, Dami Trevayu, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar say, Torah nitner ba'arbo'im. Uneshama notzeres be'arboim. Torah was given in 40 days, and the neshama is formed in 40. What does he mean by the neshama being formed in 40 days? Remember the machlokas in Sanhedrin, Sadi Aleph, and Beis about when the neshama enters the body. So we thought that Rebbe's conclusion was the neshama enters in the beginning, like Antoninus said. So what do you mean the neshama is formed in 40 days? So I think that's why Rashi says, not the neshama, but suras havlad, the form of the kid. In 40 days, after 40 days of gestation, you're able to really identify the human baby. You can start to identify gender. And from an embryological standpoint, what they observed in their day, we can observe nowadays. It's at that 6-week point that you can really start to identify things. So bless you. So he says, the form of the Vlad is in 40 days. The Torah is in 40 days. So if a person guards the Torah, Nishmaso Mishtameres, his life is guarded. If he doesn't guard the Torah, then all bets are off. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishma, they learned in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishma, Mashal Adam Shemasar Tzipor Dror La'avdo. You can compare this to somebody who gave his servant a wild bird to take care of. Omar, and he says to him, Kemeduma Ata Shema Tame'abdo, Shani Nota Mimcha Yisar B'dameha. You think that if you lose the bird, I'm just going to charge you for a new bird. I'm just going to say, pay me an Yisar for the value of the bird. Ah, Nishmascha Ani Nota Mimcha. It's going to cost you your life if you lose that bird. The sentimental value of it, I don't need this bird. So he says, don't take this lightly. So too with the Torah. Okay, all of that was just but it was a spin-off of Ein Morid and not going down in Kedusha. Our main point was the arrangement of Lechem Hapanim on these tables. So we said you don't go down in Kedusha with the tables, and then from that we talked about the Luchos not descending from their Kedusha, and from there we talked about the Talmid Chacham who forgot, and how he doesn't descend from his Kedusha, and from there we talk about forgetting about learning Torah. But we have to now go back up the chain to this issue of how you arrange Lechem come upon him. And here we get the Mishnah, of which we quoted an excerpt already on Amud Aleph, about the changing of the lechem upon him. Shnei shulchanos hayu ba'ulam mibifnim al-pesach abayis. You had two tables in the Azara, inside, by the entrance to the Heichal. Echad shel shayish ve'echad shel zav. One marble, one gold, as I already explained. Rashi believes that this is the one we meant with silver. Is really marble. It's just white like silver. Tosfos suggests that different sugyos, that long Tosfos echad, different sugyos actually have different views about whether it was marble or silver. Ve'al shel zav b'yitziyasa. But either way, you have a gold one on the way out. Shemalin b'kodesh v'lo morid. Because you go up in Kedusha and not down, as we discussed already on the first side. V'yechad shel zav mibifnim sh'olav lechem apanim tamid. And the gold went inside, and the lechem apanim sat on tamid continually. We're going to come back to that word continually. V'arba'a kohanim nichnasim. Four kohanim entered. Shnayim b'yodam shnei sedarim, u'shnayim b'yodam shnei bazichin. Two of them carrying the two piles of the bread, and two of them holding two spoons. V'arba'a makdim lefneim, and two people in front of them. Shnayim litol shnei. Two to remove the two piles and two to remove the spoons. So you want to know why we need all that room around the tables. You need room for them to get by. Those who are bringing in the new would stand in the north and face south. And those who are removing it, they would stand in the south and face north. Elu moshchin ve'elu manichin. These would be moshech, would remove the old, and these would place the new simultaneously. It's the next line. Hang on, one more line, you'll see it. The tivcho shel zeh k'neged tivcho shel zeh. The tefach, the fist of one, was opposite the fist of the other. Shenemar lefanai tamid, because the pasuk says they should be before me always. So therefore, you can't have any gap. That was where you were going with it.
So you can't remove it.
Correct. But along with Rabbi Yossi, and he says that's silly. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilu elu nodlin ve'lam anichin af hi haisa tamid. He says it's tamid even if you take off the old and then you put in the new. Tamid doesn't mean that it has to be there constantly. Remember Rabbi Yossi's position on Ben Ashmashos in Brachos in Shabbos? Right, Rabbi Yossi says that Ben Ashmashos, he says, Eif Shalatzamtim, you can't be precise and say, here's the moment. So to here, you can't be precise and say, tamid, therefore the table must always be occupied. Yatzu v'nasnam al shulchan azav. We're going to come back to that in the Gemara. Yatzu v'nasnam al shulchan azav shayu ba'ulam. They then went out and they put the old bread on the gold table in the ulam. Hiktira bazichim. They put the lavona, the frankincense, on the mizbeach. V'achalos mischalkos lekohanim. And they divided up the chalos among the kohanim. No word here on the question someone asked me the other day about whether there's lina if you don't eat the bread on that first day. I would think you would have to, but I can't actually prove it yet. Chol Yom Kippurim Lios B'Shabbos Hachalos Mischalkos La'erev. If Yom Kippur is Shabbos, what do you do with the loaves? That's okay, eat the bread that night. Well, that proves that there's no lina, because you're eating the bread that night. There's no lina, at least for that day. Chol Lios B'erev Shabbos. What if Yom Kippur is Friday? This has nothing to do with Lechem upon him now, but it's a separate point about eating karbanos when you're not allowed to. So if Yom Kippur is Friday, and I have the goat chatas, of which people are supposed to eat parts, Sarshal Yom Kippurim, Nechol La'erev, so you eat the goat of Yom Kippur that night, but what are you supposed to do? It's Friday night, you can't cook it. And you couldn't cook it on Yom Kippur either. So, Babliam ochlen oso kshuchaim ibnesha daitan yafes. And the Babylonians, in fact, ate it raw. They, because they had das yafes, they had a broad mind. This didn't bother them. So if Yom Kippur was a Friday, you just gave it to the Babylonians. This sounds a little bit like the standard. What do you mean?
They were uncultured.
Oh no, Daitan Yafe is a term that we use often in the Gemara for someone who's not a mafunok, who's not pampered. We actually do use that term. Yafe is not meant as praise, though. And the Tosfos Yom Tov here asks, well, what about malicha? Don't you have to salt the meat? And we don't salt food because salting it is a form of ma'abed, like you would do with leather. So he answers either that it wasn't necessary because the blood didn't leave the Evarim. It was still inside the Avern because you weren't cooking it. Or alternatively, you could do Malicha on Yom Kippur for this purpose because there's no Gezerah for Shavuos. You want to avoid causing the Karban to become disqualified. So that's the justification. That's Tosfos Yom Tov on this Mishnah. In any case, we now spend our time understanding the word tamid. When you say always, what does always mean? Tanya, Brisa says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilu silikis hayishana shachris v'sidiris hachadosha arvis ein b'kach klum. Rabbi Yossi says, you can remove the old bread in the morning and put the new bread on in the evening, and that's fine too. Still pre-shkia, before sunset. But ein b'kach klum, it's no problem. Elamani mekayim lefanai tamid. What do you mean when you say it has to be in front of me always? Shelo yalin shochan b'lo lachem. The table should not go overnight without bread on it. That's all. Amar Rabbi Ami, and Rabbi Ami said, Midvar Shabbi Yossi Nilmod. So we can learn from Rabbi Yossi regarding another issue of continuity without the word Tamid. Afilu lo shana adam ala perek echad shachas uperek echad arvis kie mitzvahs lo yomush sefer Torah zemi picha. He says, well, in that case, when we say that your Torah study has to be constant, that means that even if you learn a perek in the morning and a perek in the evening, you have fulfilled the Torah shall never leave your mouth. Because you had some in the morning and you had some in the evening. That's good enough. Just like you had the bread on the table in the morning, you have bread on the table in the evening. You don't need to learn all day. So amar b'yochan mishum b'yishum b'yochai afilu lo kara adam ala kriyash mashach. Even if you only said Shema in the morning and evening, you fulfilled it. But you don't say that in front of an Amaretz, because they're going to think they can leave the daf for the 6:30 minyan. They don't need to know anything. So he says, don't say this to them. And Rava says, no, there's a mitzvah to say it to in front of an Am Haaretz. And Rashi offers you a couple of explanations. Basically, the approach is that if they see that you could get out of it with so little, and yet the Chachamim involve themselves so much, that shows that they that shows how much this must really be worth. You're doing it even though you're not obligated to do so. That's his first approach. And his second approach is they think if there's such great reward, see Rashi for more. But this is a debate. You tell people how easily they could get away with their obligation. So that is a springboard for a new point. Shaul ben Dama. Ben Achoso Shor Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael's nephew Ben Dama. Remember, regarding Ben Azai and Ben Zoma, we say if someone is called Ben, it means he became known as a Talmid Chacham even when he was very young. And he wasn't even called by his own name. He was called by his father's name. Oh, that's Dama's kid. So Ben Dama asks his uncle Rabbi Yishmael, as Rabbi Yishmael, Kigon Anisha Lamadati Kola Torah Kula. He says, I learned all of Torah. What's the deal with learning Greek wisdom, Greek philosophy? Can I learn that now? I already learned the entire Torah on a basic level. He had gone through Shas, he had gone through Tanakh, he learned all of Torah. I don't think he's exaggerating. I think this is a real question. So Kara Alav Amikra Zeh. So his uncle says, I'm sorry, but there is a pasuk. Separate from the mitzvah of learning the entire Torah, you have a mitzvah of learning Torah constantly. So Tzayu Bedok Shah Shein Lomen Ayom Veloman Alayla. Find time that's neither day nor night. Ulamod Ba Chachmas Yevanis, and that's when you can go learn Greek philosophy. Tosus asks, well, wait a minute. Didn't we learn there was a gzera against learning Greek philosophy? So back on Samach Dalet Amid Beis. We addressed this and said either this is before the Gezerah, which we said was unlikely. That was Rashbam's idea, but chronologically it doesn't work. Alternatively, it's talking about learning it litzorech, learning it out of a need, like to be able to interact with the aristocracy or something like that, and even the Gezerah wasn't against that. And that's why he could ask the question. This is one view, that I have an obligation to learn Torah constantly. However, there's another view. He says Greek language? Alright. Fourth of the widest lines, there's a lot to see even in the last few lines, so I want to make sure to catch this. Upligid Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. This disagrees with what Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said. He took the pasuk differently. Dam Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Bionasan Pasuk Zeh Ein Lo Chova Velo Mitzvah Ela Bracha. He says this pasuk is not an obligation, it's not a mitzvah, it's simply a bracha of success. You will learn Torah all the time. Ra Kadosh Baruch Hu Es Yehoshua Shedivrei Torah Chavivim Alav Bioser. Hashem saw that Yehoshua felt Torah was so beloved to him. As the pasuk says, in Mishar So Yeshua bin Nun and Nar Lo Yamish Mitocha Oel, he never left the tent. So Amar Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Yeshua, Koka Chaviv and Lacha Divrei Torah, Torah is so beloved to you. Lo Yamush Sefer HaTorah Zemi Picha, this should never ever leave your mouth. It's a bracha. Notice he distinguished between chova and mitzvah. Some point that out regarding lighting candles for Shabbos, that is called a chova and not a mitzvah, because here we distinguish between the two. For reasons we could speak about at another point. But Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, they told him the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Divrei Torah lo yu alecha chova. You should not view Torah as chova, as an obligation. Via Rashi, lift our atzma chamayam, nor may you exempt yourself from it. What do you mean Torah is not a chova? So Rashi says that you should look at it as an obligation, like you have to finish your obligation and go. That type of a thing. That's Rashi's approach. Tosfos, though, adds two other views. The first one in Tosfos is, you shouldn't think that Torah is your chova, that you should only be involved in Torah and not in Derech Eretz. He says that's a mistake. A person has to do Torah, but he also has to do Derech Eretz. That's the first approach in Tosfos. And then the second one in Tosfos is, you shouldn't view it as chova, like you have to learn everything and have to finish the entire Torah. It's not so. The Lora Lacha Mokhalik Mor, you don't have to do everything. Don't get discouraged if you can't. You have to do what you can do. Okay. Amar Chizkiah says, Ma'idir Sevi, quotes a pasuk in Eov, Ve'av has his chami pitzar, Rachav lo mutzak tachteha. He seduces you from, Hashem seduces you from a narrow path, to go to a path that is rachav, that is broad, that has no constriction in it. Mutzak, like matzok and tzuka. So what does this pasuk mean in Eo? Hashem takes you from a narrow path to a wide path. Bo re'esh lo k'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basav adam. God doesn't act like people do. Midas basav adam adam meisis eschaveru midarche chayim adarche misa. People tend to seduce people from the path of life to the path of death. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Hashem, through Torah, meisis eschaveru midarche misa ladarche chayim. He persuades you to go from paths of death, the narrow path, to the paths of life. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, v'af es ischami pitzar. He seduced you from the narrow one, Migehenim, Shepiot Tsar, from Gehenim, which has a narrow opening. She'oshnat Savur Besocha, because it has all that smoke gathered in it. That's why the entrance is narrow. Veshema Tomar Kashim Shepiot Tsar, Kach Kula Tsara, lest you think, well, the entrance is narrow, that means there's very little space inside too. Tamad Lomar Hamik Hirchiv, because the Pasuk in Yeshaya says Hashem deepened it and broadened it. Veshema Tomar Lamelech Lohuchana, and maybe you'll say a Tamad Chacham will be exempt. He can't possibly fall into the Torah. Melech means Tamar Chacham, as Rashi explains. Tamar Lomar Gam Hila Melech Huchan. That same pasuk in Yeshaya says it's available for the king too. V'shema Tamar Ein Ba'etzim. Unless you say there's no fuel for the fire there. Tamar Lomar Midurasa Eish Ba'etzim Harbe. That same pasuk in Yeshaya. There apparently is a lot of fire there, and there's fuel for more. V'shem HaTamar Zeus Chara, unless you say, well, that's all that Talmud Torah is good for. It'll save me for Gehenim, but it doesn't provide reward. Go back to the Pasuk in Eov, Talmud Lomar, V'nechas or V'nichas Shulchancha Malei Deshen. Your table will be full of the fat, will be full of the finest stuff. So the upshot of that last piece, we started from defining Tamid, that the bread has to be on the table always. We said always lav davka. That plays into the question of whether you have to learn Torah always, continually, without interruption, as well. Two different views of the pasuk. And then Rabbi Shmuel, they found the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel that Torah should not be viewed as an obligation. Three different explanations of that. And Talmud Torah will save a person from Gehenna and give him great star.